Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Hulk Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Good afternoon. Welcome. I'm Rita Hulk Lane, the host of this program, and I'm very grateful to be here with you. I have a confession to make, though. I am on a holiday. I'm not in the studio, so I apologize to my friends on Facebook who usually watch and listen in. But on the radio, here we are, and I'm very grateful to be doing this. This is the first time I've done a remote broadcast, so it's a little challenging. I hope we don't have too many technological problems. But I'd like to begin with a prayer. That's from the Shorter Christian Prayer Book of the Church, and it's a very sweet little prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. All-powerful and ever-living God, at morning, noon, and evening we pray. Cast out from our hearts the darkness of sin, and bring us to the light of your truth, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you haven't dialed in to this show before, basically we try to focus on going out into the depths of life with Jesus, where life can be filled with beauty and truth and love beyond all telling, even when things seem most hopeless and dark. He's right there in the middle of it, right there. And he has promised a truly meaningful life right now and hopefully for eternity if we allow him to accompany us in the boats of our lives. Remember, things were very hopeless for Peter and the fishermen. They came in, they'd been fishing all night, caught nothing, and they needed desperately to have caught some fish. And so Jesus says, let's go back out again. This time you'll be with me. And so they did, and it was abundance. That's really, really what he's telling you and me today is, let me come with you. Let me go with you in life, accompany you every moment of your life, and abundance of comfort, abundance of encouragement, abundance of wisdom, all these wonderful things will come with him. So that's what I wanted to, that's why I chose the name of this show, because we see that in Scripture and in our own lives, those of you who are believers out there, we see it all the time. Jesus acting in our lives and doing things that we never expected. He surprises us sometimes, like just now. I'm here in Maryland, and I'm trying to do a show remotely I've never done before. So he has some surprises up his sleeve, but he also accompanies us and helps us to do what he has called us to do. What I really would like to do is welcome Anne McGlone back to our network. Wow, what a dynamo she is these days. She was always great before, but she's really a dynamo right now. You can just hear the joy in her voice. You can see the healing in her heart. I mean, just one thing after another. This is what happens when we experience some tragedies in life and the Lord comes along with us. And afterwards, you know, it takes a while. You know, it takes a while. Afterwards, the joy can be remarkable. And so I'm just, Anne, God bless your work. We're so happy you're back. And I can't wait to hear what you have to offer in the future. And thank you for welcoming me and encouraging people to listen to me. Anyway, as I said, I have a confession to make. I'm on a short vacation. My husband and I are heading towards Virginia. And we stopped at Deep Creek Lake in Maryland for an overnight. And it's such a beautiful place. I don't know if you've ever been here or even know about it. It's this huge lake in the middle of the mountains and hills and stuff, but there's not much, you know, there's no great big cities or anything. It's developed to a degree, but it's this big lake in the middle of nowhere, unlike many other lakes. It's enormous, and it's just beautiful, surrounded by the mountains and the beautiful sky, and it just takes your breath away. The weather today is magnificent. It's 70 degrees with a nice little breeze going on, and sun is out. It's you know, really a wonderful thing to get away and you know, get a little bit of a respite from all the things that are going on in our lives. Anyway, if you are looking for a place to go on vacation, check this place out. They have all seasons here. Wintertime, there's ski resorts all around. Summertime, beautiful. Everything you can imagine. Families, couples, singles, children, you name it. Anyway, I share about this beauty here because to go out in nature is healing to me and to many people. It speaks to my heart in a deeply meaningful way as I ponder our good Father in heaven who gives us the gifts of such beauty. We, you know, if we're always in cement in the cities, we're always in our homes and not out in this beautiful gift of nature that the Lord has given us, it's that we lose something very, very, very important. I'm certain of it, that He has created this earth and the beauty of it for our hearts to sing, to minister to us spiritually and spiritually, physically, and emotionally by being out in nature. And I just want to encourage you to do that. As some of you know, I work with Mother Teresa's sisters in Chester and sometimes Norristown. And one of the things we do is we do a summer camp during the month of July, which we just finished. And years ago, a gentleman who volunteers with us still, his name is Harry. He was talking to me about planning field trips, and he said, you know, let's plan field trips to get them out of the cement. And I knew what he meant, out of city life, where they can breathe fresh air, experience wildlife, be in the sun and play without worrying about the violence in their neighborhood. And I remembered my own childhood, and we planned that. And every year, we take the children out of the cement at least once, if not more times during that month of July. And it makes a difference. They love it. It lightens their hearts. They're in awe of creation and everything that they experience. So get out, you know, before the weather gets cold. Maybe not a super hot day, but get out and even just sit on the porch. Put the umbrella up, sit on the porch, and just look out at the beauty of the nature around you. And some of the unexpected things that you'll see, too, which are kind of funny. Like a few years ago, I looked out my kitchen window, and there was a baby groundhog sunning itself and napping on my back porch. It was the cutest little thing. So cute. So every day I would look for it, and eventually the little guy would come into my yard under the fence, eat, weeds, which I was grateful for, and then come up there and sun himself and take a nap. It was so cute. It was a highlight of nature. you know, anyway. But I want to share a few Bible verses with you. As you well know, Scripture is alive. It is the Word of God. It is not just a book written like all other books. It is powerful. And if you don't believe that, try it. It'll prove itself to you. God, through His Word, will prove it to you. But I want to read to you Jeremiah 29:13. "For I know well the plans I have in mind for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for woe, so as to give you a future of hope. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you." I'm going to repeat that again. "I want to give you a future of hope. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you." And then the next verse is this, which I love. "When you look for me, you will find me. Yes, when you seek me with all your heart." Okay? When you look for me, you will find me. Yes, when you seek me with all your heart. The I love it because it's absolute truth. If you haven't sought the Lord and you doubt that He exists, or you doubt what Scripture claims, if you will open yourself, because what if you're wrong? What if you are wrong and you are rejecting the greatest thing that could ever happen in your life? What if you're wrong? I find it so sad that so many people have turned their backs on God and haven't given Him a chance to show Himself to them. He says, if you look for me, He's there already. He's waiting with open arms. "If you look for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me." Okay? So, I want to talk a little bit about our hearts today, but I have another, I have a few more Bible verses. This one, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul." Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Remember, we talked a few weeks ago about Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added to it." If we give our hearts to the Lord first, and then start walking out in life, it's unbelievable, the beauty of it. I can't even express it, because it's kind of funny. You read books sometimes about people who have had, just regular encounters with God, and there's no words in the English language, or maybe even any language, to describe what He does and how He does it and how amazing it is. There just aren't words for it. Wonderful, abundant, all those kind of words, they seem flat compared to what you really experience. Okay? So listen to what Anne talked about, Anne McClellan, how, you know, she couldn't even pray. She was hurt so, physically hurt so bad, and so, just trying to survive these horrible injuries. And so other people had to pray for her. Other people had to encourage her. And just a little word here and there could lift her spirits. And that, I've found that to be true for me. And that's the Lord working in me. So I want to encourage you for that. But my dear friends, God wants our heart, because He's not merely an idea to be pondered. And He's not merely one of many spiritualities to be pondered. He is a person to be loved, a person to be encountered, and a person to be loved. And so he wants our hearts today. Okay? How is your heart today? You know, it's interesting because it's a question we should ask ourselves every week. No, actually every day. How is my heart today? Am I open? Am I giving my heart to the Lord? You know, I remember like the first day of camp, I have this beautiful icon of Jesus in my bedroom, and I had been praying. We all must pray before we encounter anything or do anything, because that releases graces into the situation, even if it's something very simple. Why pass those graces? So I'm praying about camp, which can be very challenging in many ways. And I stood up and I looked at the icon and I said, Lord, let's go to Chester together. Let's go. And I got choked up because I knew that he was going to go with me because I'd asked him to go with me. And I knew that that was what he wanted. He wants to go with us. You know, so I got choked up, a little choked up now, but basically ask him to go with you. Ask him to lead you, guide you, show you the way. Get in your boat with you. Get in your boat with you. Okay, so anyway, let's focus a little bit on our hearts every day. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Come and go with me, please. I need you. It's not a sign of weakness to be humble. It's not a sign of weakness to ask the Lord to come and be with you because you need him. We're not God, y'all. We're not God. We don't have all the answers. Just look around. We're all arguing with each other and, you know, canceling each other and all this sort of thing. We're not God. We need God to be in our lives, to give us that wisdom and understanding and right judgment and all the other things that he gives to us when we are in relationship with him. We need it. He promised it. Go for it. Go for it. Don't walk away from it. It's amazing. Okay? So I've told you this before, but heart is the most mentioned word in sacred scripture of the Bible after the names of God. That should tell us something, all right? Do we have open hearts towards God and others? And others, are we closed-minded and hard-hearted? I believe that there is an underlying, I mean no disrespect by this, but an underlying pandemic of hard-heartedness in our culture today. And we Christians need to ponder or consider ourselves. Are we hard-hearted? And I'm not talking just about hard-hearted towards God, because many of us are not, okay? At least as much as we can tell. But are we hard-hearted towards our fellow countrymen and other people in the world? Are we hard-hearted against them because they are of a different culture or a different religion or a different political persuasion? Are we hard-hearted against them? Thank God the Lord is not hard-hearted against us. Okay? I'll tell you a little story that really touched my heart. Mother Teresa opened a home for the dying in a temple that was no longer used for a temple of Indian religion. I can't remember which one it was, but she opened the temple was empty. The city gave it to her to open a home for the dying, and so she was in this no longer temple, but a lot of the religious leaders in India at that time that weren't Christian were adamant that she could not be in a Christian organization, could not be in their temple, even though it was no longer used. And there was one man in particular. He was a shaman, and he was just vicious, vicious to Mother Teresa and the sisters. And he didn't care what wonderful work they were doing. He only cared that they were not of his religion and should not be in that retired temple. And he made life very difficult for them. And finally, the police came in and said, you know, when you and your wives are willing to come in here and do this work that she's doing, then I'll throw her out. Well, of course, they wouldn't come. So, you know, here's this vicious man, really, really nasty. And one day, years later, he gets very, very deathly ill. And there's no place for him in the hospitals and things. Guess where he ends up? With Mother Teresa in her home for the dying. And he was petrified. He didn't want to be there, first of all, because she was Christian, but he was petrified that she would hold resentment against him for all the horrible things he had done. But you know what Mother did? She brought him in there and took care of him with love and nurtured him and encouraged him. And his whole attitude towards her changed. They became great friends, and he did die. But he saw our religion, our faith, if we live it the way Jesus has told us to live it, there is so much love and so much respect for others. And we can make such a difference. Love can cure anything. But if we are hard-hearted, we can't have that love. If we're hard-hearted towards our friends or family members or anyone that we've been disappointed in or who has hurt us so badly. You know, 2 weeks ago, I read to you about a quote that was something like, you know, be kind to those who have hurt you, even if they don't necessarily deserve it, because who knows what God will do with that kindness to their hearts and to your own heart, too. We give and we receive. It's the law of the Lord. You know. But anyway, so the reason I bring this up is I was with some friends not too long ago, and they absolutely refuse to hear any viewpoint, whether it's true or not, any viewpoint from anyone else about politics, cultural issues, and even God. It's like, boom, my mind and heart are shut. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. Well, we Christians are not really allowed to do that. I mean, I'm not saying that we switch our religion or we give up our faith, but we need to listen. We need to help them to understand where we're coming from, but we need to respect them until just so that we can have a relationship. If we cut off ourselves from each other, there's no hope for any of us. You know? And so please try to stay open-minded. And it really hurt my heart when I was, and it's been going on for a while now. And I blame the political scene for a lot of this disunity that's in the country now. But basically, let's rise above it. Let's focus on what we have in common and what we can do as civilians and as Christians to make the world a better place and solve these problems, because the government's not doing a very good job right now, okay? But I realize that this anger and frustration with others is a hard-hearted response, and the Bible is full of stories and examples of how hard-heartedness causes tragedy and rebellions and can cause the loss of eternal life with the Lord. So many things are horrible because of hard-heartedness. And so I wanted to share some things with you in the next half hour about hard-heartedness and about the beauty of not having a hard heart, okay? And so I thank you for listening to me, and I wanted to go back to that prayer real quick before we break and read it again. All-powerful and ever-living God, at morning, noon, and evening we pray, cast out from our hearts the darkness of sin and bring us to the light of your truth, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Okay? And so, when we come back, I would like to talk to you about this book that I've been reading called The Simple Path to Union with God. There's some comments in there about open and closed hearts. We'll look at some of the evidence of a closed heart or hard heart. And then we'll look at the beauty of the open heart, what the Lord has promised to us with that. Okay. So I thank you for sticking with me. And I pray that the Lord will bless your time and my time as we're together going out into the deep with Jesus. Okay, I'll be back in a little bit. God bless you.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Rita Hauk-Lane, and I'm the host of this show, and we have another half hour left, and I'm grateful for you. If you've just joined in, I hope you'll enjoy it, and if you stayed over the break and are back with me, I really appreciate that. You know, the Lord, sometimes He calls us to do things that are not easy to do. It's out of our comfort zone. Many times He does that. And we just have to do it and pray that He fixes the things we mess up and blesses the things that we don't. And that's what I pray for. And I'm really new at this. And I really appreciate your patience with me and your prayers. And I just think you all are just wonderful. I love meeting you. And I just thank you again for supporting the station and all of us who are involved in it. Many of us were called out of the blue. We didn't expect it. I didn't pursue this. I was called upon to do this. And it took a long time for me to discern it, but I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. And just pray that I do it well. Okay? And God bless everybody else that's working on this, because it's not easy to do. Anyway, I want to share with you some words that are in this book, The Simple Path to Union with God. And thank you, Micah, for turning me on to it. Almost every time I read some of it, I cry a little bit because it's really beautifully done. And in here, under the subtitle, From Hardness of Heart to Purity, basically, at the beginning of it, it's saying, like, when we go to Jesus or we give him a try or we sit before him at church or whatever and we don't feel anything or it doesn't seem to be, we don't seem to be getting anything out of it, sometimes it happens because our hearts are hardened. And we are caught up in ourselves, and we're thinking only of ourselves. And like I said before, God wants a relationship with us. Well, a relationship is not all one-sided. Think of how you feel when somebody uses you all the time, and never gives anything back, never wants to be with you just for the sake of being with you, only comes to you when they want something. Well, that's not a relationship, and that's what God wants. He wants us in relationship with him. So sometimes when we come to him, we're not coming with an open heart. We're coming with preconceived notions, expectations, that we expect God to do this for us kind of thing because of we are so wonderful coming to him. Well, he does think we're wonderful, but we have to open ourselves to him and not be so caught up in ourselves. And it says, don't despair, though, if you find that you are hard-hearted, because recognizing that is the first real constructive path back to that heart that God wants you to have. And in here, they quote Pope Benedict the 16th. And it's really a lovely thing. It says, how can it be that mankind, does not even want to taste God? When man is entirely caught up in his own world with material things, with what he can do, with all that is feasible and brings him success, with all that he can produce or understand by himself, then his capacity to perceive God weakens. The organ sensitive to God deteriorates. It becomes unable to perceive and sense the Lord. It can happen that man, as St. Gregory says, no longer perceives God's gaze to be looked at by him, the fact that his precious gaze touches me. In other words, when we're hard-hearted or when we are so caught up in our little world and what we're doing, where we're going, our successes, our failures, all of those things, we're all caught up in that. Over time, our capacity to perceive God in our lives and to welcome him into our lives will weaken. And a part of us sensitive to God deteriorates. Why do you think that there are some people who can willfully and deliberately murder people without any guilt? Because somewhere along the line, they push God out. That conscience, they push the conscience, the way God was talking to them about, do not do this, this is wrong. Pushed him out and pushed him out and pushed him out to where they can no longer hear his voice. Their conscience is dead. And so, therefore, we have to be careful. That's an extreme example, but we have to be really, really careful that we keep our hearts open and listen for him. Okay? Then it goes on to say, because John the Baptist's heart was pure, his eyes were not veiled. Here we go. He immediately saw the glory of God in Jesus as he approached him and was able to fulfill his mission by proclaiming, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But throughout the Gospels, Jesus exposed the hardness of heart of many. He confronted the scribes who were questioning in their hearts the healing of the paralytic. Jesus went directly to the root of the problem and asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? On another occasion, After healing the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath, Jesus looked at the Pharisees with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. You see here, these Pharisees are following him around. They're seeing him. They're hearing his teachings, which shook them up, but were really profound and beautiful. They're seeing him healing people, but they just can't accept him. They can't invite him in. They can't open up to him. They've got hard hearts, and that's it. They can't receive anymore. And this is what happens to us when we're hard-hearted with others. God's not hard-hearted with us. When we're hard-hearted towards others and just really, you know, kind of cancel them out, don't listen to them, won't have a reasonable conversation, we are being like the Pharisees. You know, instead of saying, maybe this person has something that I can learn, or at least I'll understand where they're coming from. I may not agree with them, but at least I'll understand it. Now I have no idea because, you know, I haven't listened to them. Ask questions, talk to each other. I know some people just won't, they refuse. But you be the one open. Open your heart to engage in conversation and actual exchange of ideas on how to make the world a better place. Because right now it's not working because we're shutting each other out. And we are not really, as Christians, allowed to be hard-hearted. We really must open ourselves to the grace of God and try, even if others won't try back, try anyway. Okay? But anyway, so even the disciples had hard hearts at times because they would see the miracles and they'd say, well, how is this happening? Because, I mean, they'd been taught by Jesus. They understood who he was, yet they would still be bewildered. You know, because they just weren't open, okay? And then she goes, the author goes on to say, why was it that John the Baptist, Simeon, and Anna, who were in the temple praying for the Messiah to come, waiting, knew Jesus at a deeper level than others? The answer lies in hearts that seek the truth with faith. A hardened heart is set in its ways. It is not open to see beyond what it controls. A pure heart, on the other hand, believes that for God, nothing is impossible. It is docile and malleable, willing to be pierced, pruned, and made new by God. In other words, I read this the other day, and I knew I needed to talk about this today. A hardened heart is set in its ways. We're seeing this everywhere. Everywhere. It's my way or the highway. You're wrong, I'm right. You don't love me because you don't do everything I say that you should do. I mean, it goes on and on and on, and it's sad and heartbreaking. So it says here, excuse me. The soul which receives the gift of self-knowledge, in other words, be willing to face ourselves as we are and with the eyes of Christ to know, we need to work on this. Lord, help me. The soul which receives the gift of self-knowledge and sees the hardness of his own heart arrives at a moment of decision. We either accept the gift or remain in darkness. Receiving the gift of self-knowledge hurts. It feels like a sting. We like to think we're all just fine. We're not so bad. We're not murderers. We're okay. But we all have things that need to be improved. We all do. And thank God, the Lord's standing right there waiting for us so that he can help us do that. We don't have to do it on our own. We don't have to do it on our own, and it's something that happens for the rest of our lives. We're never quite there yet, but we work on it. The soul needs courage to admit the sins and the wounds caused by them, and to go to the root of those sins. And he was talking, you know, remember he went to the root of the Pharisees' sins, and that was their hard-heartedness. Their hard-heartedness. So go to the root of our sins. And that's why most people pull back into the old self and do not enter the healing process. But if the soul perseveres, it receives the balm of Jesus's mercy. The planks fall away. The light of truth enters. The fruit of this process is joy and peace. Joy and peace. Be more in tune with him, more connected with him. And it is a healing. There are, just like Mother Teresa taught me, that there are many ways of poverty. I always thought of, you know, if people were poor, I was thinking that they were materially poor. They didn't have enough clothes or food or whatever. But she taught me that we can be very rich in material things and desperately poor spiritually and emotionally. Money can come and go, but we all need spiritual and emotional healing, and some of us need material healing, you know. So we have those kinds of poverty and those kinds of healings, all right? There's a healing of our mind, of our soul, of our bodies, many, many things to be healed. And we as Christians follow Christ because he came to heal everything. I am the way to healing. I am the truth of healing. And I am the life that is healed. He came to heal everything. Yes, there's problems in the world. There's all kinds of challenges. Believe me, I know. I've been through it. Still go through it. But he is there waiting to heal if we will open our hearts again and say, Lord, what do I need to do to have this peace and joy? What do I need to do to reconnect with the people that won't connect to me or I have not connected with in the last few years? Help me to do this. I want to be like you, who mends those senses, who sees with fresh eyes. There's a scripture in Ezekiel 36, and it says, this is the Lord speaking, I will remove the hearts of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. In other words, a soft and open heart. You'll get rid of that hard-heartedness. And it's usually caused by some injury in our past. You know, you don't trust somebody, or that person has irritated you to no end for so long, you just can't get over it. Those hard-hearted, many, many things have happened to us in the past. And it's very interesting. I'm sorry to get off topic a little bit, but I was reading something the other day, and it said that when Adam and Eve were confronted with the serpent and had their first brought original sin into the world, the first thing they really did was listen to the lie. The evil one lied to them, and they listened and allowed that lie to change their lives. We have to be careful of what we listen to and believe that's in the press right now. There are so many lies. And if we accept it, we're going down the same path as Adam and Eve did. It does not lead to good. The evil one lies. He is the father of lies. And he uses people in the media, even if they're not aware of it, to say things about people that are not true. And then you get it in your mind that that was true about that person. And then even when the truth comes out later, either you don't hear it because the people you've been listening to won't tell you, or they you just don't want to hear it. I don't believe it. That's the lie. We have to be very careful. We need to ask the Lord to open our minds and hearts to the truth and to the lies that we're being told, to see them as the lies that they're being told. I did that years ago, and it was an eye-opener because I thought everything was kind of going okay. It was different than now. But I prayed because of a book telling me you should pray to see evil where it is and be aware of it so you can pray against it and avoid it. Well, I thought everything was pretty okay. Well, it wasn't. After I prayed that prayer, slowly but surely, the Lord started showing me things on TV, in relationships, you name it. I was appalled at how much was around that was really broke Jesus's heart and caused a lot of harm in the world. So pray that you see the truth and see through the lies, because that they're everywhere. Anyway, for a person to be hard-hearted, it usually means that they have a great deal of pride. They give credit to themselves for everything they've accomplished. I don't need God. I've done fine on my own. It wasn't his doing. It was my doing. You know, those sort of things. Well, God has given us the gifts that have allowed us to be the people that we are when it's good and everything. And we need to acknowledge that is at least part, if not all, of what we have accomplished has been because the Lord has helped us. Stubbornness, set in our ways, not open to others' opinions, no matter how fact-based, no matter how much, how many resources are there. I don't believe in God because I can't see him. Period. That's it. They don't want to hear anything else. Well, I'm sorry. You know, those of us who have experienced him can share great stories of those of how he has shown himself to us and that he is real. So you're walking away from the God of the universe and from a life with him because you don't want to hear it. Okay. All right. Also, in the stubbornness, I'm right and you're wrong. When you don't even have the full truth. None of us has the full truth about everything. None of us. So we need to be less stubborn. Okay, hard-hearted people misunderstand things and are very cynical. When we close our hearts and are no longer open to truths and clarifications, because we're not only closing our hearts against lies, we're closing our hearts against truths. If we're not willing to hear, right? Okay. Hard-hearted people refuse to see themselves in need of changing. We accept our sinfulness. I make excuses for it. I live in the dark and I'm not that bad. I'm not a murderer. Okay? These are the things that we do to refuse to accept the need to change. Okay? Hard-hearted people are very judgmental and unsympathetic. You know, it's his fault that happened to him because, you know, that violence happened to him because of who he is. It's his fault. Or it's her fault that she's poor and lives in Chester. You know, it's her fault. She should get up and move or just go get a job. Not knowing anything about the person or why they're impoverished or why they can't get a job. Believe me, I've worked down there. I know it's not easy like people make it out to be. All right. Then hard-hearted people are unforgiving and resentful. Not in everything, but there's always little seeds of it here and there. But again, the Lord said, I will break their hearts of stone. I will give them hearts of flesh. He wants our heart to be beautiful. He wants to give us his heart in our heart so that we can see like he sees. We can love like he loves. We can endure like he endures. and be patient and understanding. I mean, he sees us with perfect eyes, perfect understanding. He says, you know, in Scripture, he says, man looks on the exterior when he's judging others, but God looks on the heart. It's the heart that he sees. We don't know what other people are going through. We don't know why they are the way they are, but the Lord knows. And so pray, Lord, show me this person through your eyes. Help me to love this person the way you love them. That way I won't have resentment. I won't have constant judging and pondering all that's wrong with that person and start seeing what's right with them. Because believe you me, a lot is right with them. Okay? Not necessarily their opinions or their actions, but their heart may be very, very right. So stay open to that. Instead, the Lord wants our hearts so that he can give us hearts like his, and because he wants to empower our hearts to be all that he wants us to be. He wants to establish our hearts in the truth. Unfortunately, in our culture today around the world, especially in the United States, it's, well, that's true for you, but it's not true for me. Those aren't real truths. Those are opinions. Truth is truth, all right? There are certain scientific facts that are true. There are certain elements of humanity that are true. The things that drive us, the things that we want, the things that we strive to be are very similar in many ways. We all want love. We all want peace. We all want understanding. But how are we working towards that? Those are truths. It's not, oh, well, you want peace, but I want war. You and me, I'm talking about. I'm not talking about governments, because governments do whatever they want to do. But I'm talking about, you know, the average person wants a clean environment, wants peace in our neighborhood, wants violence to go away, and to live in harmony with each other. That's what we really, really want. But the world tries to tell you that's not true, and then we start getting caught up in all of these judgments and everything. So the Lord wants to establish our hearts in truth, wants us to love like he loves, to see like he sees, and to heal our hearts. That's his job. He just needs permission. If you seek me, you will find me. Okay, and then a quote I read today, the Lord wants to enrich our hearts, to fill them with wisdom and understanding, peacefulness, to help free us from the slavery of our sin, because sin does enslave us, to look more kindly on others and to realize that none of us are perfect, to give us a forgiving and loving heart like his. He wants to give us a heart like his. And a heart like his will have answers to the problem. And many hands make light work. When we come together in community and work together, perfection doesn't happen. But really wonderful things can come from that. We're not little islands. And so I just want to encourage you to open your hearts to the Lord, Papa John Paul. I call him Pope St. John Paul II, Papa John Paul, because I got a miracle from him. And I loved him long before I became Catholic. And he used to say, do not be afraid to open wide the doors of your heart to Christ. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Quit fighting with God. Quit fighting with him and saying, well, since you didn't do this, you aren't worthy of being my God. or this happened and you should have stopped it, so you're not worthy of being my God. Give him a chance. Because he never promised that we were going to have this perfect life here in this life. But when we have him with us, in spite of the horrors of life and the things that can happen, he accompanies us. He picks us up when we fall. He walks with us. He speaks to us. He gives us peace of mind and joy of heart. This is really what Jesus does. This is truth. Yep, it's hard when you're going through hell. Just ask Ann McClellan. And you could ask me that a few times in my life, too. It's not easy. And it seems like he's nowhere to be found, but he's there in the midst of it. And he shows you that later, if he doesn't show you right away. He's with you. He loves you. He wants to be with you. He wants to give you a heart like his. I told you a long time ago that I was in Bethany Beach with some girlfriends a few years back before COVID. And I was sitting on the beach, and I don't know why, but all of a sudden, I looked around, and I saw the Lord gave me a grace, and I don't understand it completely other than maybe he knew I'd be on the radio someday and would share this with you. He gave me the grace, the phenomenal grace, that to be able to see every single person on the beach, I believe, through his eyes. I saw nothing but beauty. Some of them were misbehaving and stuff, but I saw through all of that to the heart, the beauty of it. It blew me away. That's the kind of heart I want forever. I want to see the beauty and encourage that beauty. I don't want to see the ugliness and criticize it all the time. Anyway, I've got to go, y'all. Thanks for putting up with me in this remote location. I pray that the Lord will bless you. Please pray for me and pray for our station, and please continue to support us and trying to do something together that's beautiful for God. God bless you all. See you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.